The book of Ruth, and the book of Ruth chapter 2, we'll finish that chapter tonight, hopefully, and been talking about the field of grace. In chapter 2, we've seen the idea of searching for the grace, and she goes, you know, in the field and trying to find out where they can find a little bit of, glean the field so they can find a little bit of food. And then we get into the field. She finds the field, and it's Boaz, and then she comes back with good news, what God has provided and blessed her with. And, you know, she goes in looking for what the Bible talks about, an omer, just basically, I think it's 2 pints, I think it is, for per person, just enough for one meal. And she comes back with, a bushel or an ephah of, her wagon is full. I mean, she's got a week's worth for her and her mother-in-law. And the Lord is really is blessing her. And let me ask you this. Ain't it like that in life that we get a hold of God and we get more and we really expect just more and more? He really is a good God. And, we just sometimes, have you ever read the Word of God and you just can't stop? You just can't read no more, but just so good? I mean, you just feel the goodness of God, and it's just like, I'm just so excited. I just want to start running around. I mean, y'all ever get that away? I mean, oh my goodness, y'all need to really get away. They get excited. I think I need to calm down, get back into it, but it's good. And you know, my wife looks at me and think I'm crazy, but sometimes this God is good, and he's really a good God. And because I think about me and who I am and the goodness of God. But I want to talk tonight about the abiding in his grace. And chapter 2, verse 21 through 23, we'll finish the section of the verse here. And it says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast of my, by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they may meet thee and not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Again, we come into the end of it. She's, like I said, she's came to a point where she goes in the field and she meets Boaz, and Boaz blesses her. He gives her not just a place to a glean, but listen, he tells the men to throw a handful of purpose. He feeds her, and she gets enough sufficient that she takes what's left over from dinner and she brings that to Naomi, and then she tells Naomi all the things come in place. And remember, Naomi was bitter. She said, "Call me Mara." You know, she was upset. And she hears that this, not just what's taking place, what Boaz did in her life, it blessed her, Ruth, and it went through Ruth, and it affected Naomi. And listen, you know, think about what happened to her mom and dad. The revival took place in that church, and the church got excited. They got saved, and they went into this church, and we get kind of excited about her family. It's just, it starts changing. It starts affecting us that God starts doing something. And listen, what you do, and you don't know what's taking place, what God does in your life. That light of God does affect difference. And listen, you go through tough times, and people see that you're going through tough times, but you keep your head up, and you say, "Well, God is good. God's going to take care of me, and I don't know how, and I'm trusting God." And people look around and say, "Well, I don't know how she's doing that." They see the goodness of God in your life, and you have no idea. You have no idea. And then this is what's taking place. And now she's coming to the place where she's still talking with Naomi, and we're talking about she's going to talk about abiding in the field of grace. Let's pray. Father, as we come to the end of this chapter, Lord, abiding in your grace, Lord God, help us to learn from her and Boaz, Father, how you were working in their life, Father, how you were working in our life, Lord, and how we can see that you're doing the same thing in us, Father, and help us to be like Ruth, Lord, to be a virtuous woman, be virtuous in our lives, and be willing to serve you and stand by. And we may not understand all the things take place, Lord God, but you're working, you're taking care of us, Lord, and you're a great God, Father, and help us be not just to be needing you or wanting you, Lord, you're our all, Father, where we're completely content, wherever state we're in, Lord, we're content in you, Lord God. And Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you we look at this, and it's not a private interpretation. We can see it, Lord. We can apply it in our lives, and we can go home and say, "You know what? If you did this in Ruth, you can do it in my life, Father, and I thank you. Thank you for working in my life, Lord God, and speak to the people's heart this evening. We ask in Jesus' name, amen." Well, in Ruth, we see, again, I'm talking about she was gleaning the field of Boaz, and she had more grain. She went just a little bit, and she, you know, just get, you go gleaning, you get just a little bit. Just a, hey, I got enough today, I'd be happy. But she gets a whole bucket. I mean, 48 pounds, and she's got enough for the whole week's worth for her and Naomi. She caught Boaz's eye. I mean, he is a mighty wealthy man, and he's a good eligible bachelor, you could say. Listen, he's checking her out. He's watching her, and listen, he's trying to work in some things out of her life so that she can glean more. And remember, he tells the servant, says, when she leaves, he tells her, I want you to do this. I want you to leave a handful of purpose, and I want you to let her glean a little bit more and protect her. And he tells her, don't touch her. If she wants water, they drew it, you take it. And she is a Moabite. She's not of a... She's not a you know, born, raised, independent, fundamental Baptist church. She come from the hood. She came from the places, the old tattoo, earring, and just don't look good. She came from LSU. I was wondering if y'all was listening to me. Hey, he could put an Alabama boy in there. I mean, listen, he can take anybody. But listen, he noticed that she wasn't what everybody was talking about. It was what was considered good. Listen, he wanted to feed her and Naomi. Listen, she leaves the field with instruction that, listen, I believe he was falling in love with her. I think he was determined to kind of get to know her better. I think he was trying to lean to find out who she is more. I think we know that he heard about her, but when he saw who this damsel was, then he says, I know you, I've heard your testimony, and I think he wants to know her more than just what he's heard about her. He really wants to get to know her. Listen, he wants her to abide in his harvest till the end. There's a time that's going to, don't go anywhere else. You know, and listen, he wants to take care of her. He wants to bless her in life. And yet you think of Boaz, he really is a picture of Jesus Christ and how he's treating her. And that's what Jesus Christ does for us. He wants to work in our life, and he wants us to respond to him. But this, in this field of grace we want to abide, it's his field of grace. It's really a field of abundance, and he wants everything that we need. Or he wants to give us much more. And in Ephesians, talking about how 3:20, talking about how he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above that we ask or think. Can you imagine that? He can do more than you think, more than you really ask. Listen, he really wants to load your wagon up. He really wants you to get to know who he is. Almighty God that created the heaven and earth, he wants to know you. Really get close to you and know you in a relationship. Just like Boaz is kind of working in her life trying to get to know her. And listen, we'll look at the subject tonight about abiding in the field of grace. We need to abide that in that field of grace. Verse 21 says, and Ruth, the Moabite, said, he said unto me also. Now, this is what he said. All this stuff going on. He goes, also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Listen, but he said unto me. You notice that personal invitation? He said it to me. He didn't say just to the servant to go tell her. He said it to her. I mean, he was a personal invitation. He's talking to her. He wants to know her better. Listen, it's that personal interest. You know, when the Bible says that for whosoever shall come upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, we talk about how that word whosoever is kind of vast, it's broad, it's anybody. I think it was Moody or Spurgeon that said that if I saw my name written in the book of the Bible, that I would think it was got to be another guy. But he said whosoever, I can see me how broad it is. It could be anybody. I mean, don't care, you're black, white, ugly, doesn't matter, right? Because people somehow want to narrow it down, only certain people get saved. But then he goes, but it's narrow though, isn't it? Because it's personal. When I put my name in there, it's me. I mean, he called me. He says, Carl, if you call upon me, Carl, if you trust me, I'll give you everlasting life. How personal it is. I mean, it's a personal invitation. He's a personal relationship with him. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. He knew you. It was a personal invitation. Think about it. It's a personal walk with him. Look with me in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, verse 4. Hold your place in Esther. We're going to go back to John and Esther a little bit here or there. But it says, chapter 15, verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. You see that invitation is close? In me, he says, and I in you. It's very personal. It's a personal invitation. It's a close walk with him. You know, Revelation, look with me in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I think we are very familiar with that section there. We've used it on soul winning, but I just want to flip to it and we can read it and see the words, how it really speaks to us. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, he goes, I stand at the door and knock. He's inviting you. He's trying to come to you, but he's standing at the door. Almighty God, and he says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. It really is a personal relationship with God. He really is personally inviting you to be with him. And she says, and he said it unto me. Listen, he's coming to her and talking, you know, Boaz is talking to Ruth and saying unto me, he's talking to her personally. Listen, it's an example that, like God, Jesus says, I'm at your door and you come with me and you abide with me and I will abide in you. There's a close walkness with God. I'm trying to really emphasize that you are created to walk with him. He loves you. He loves you. How many times do you feel like he don't love you? You feel like God don't love me. That's the old devil. I mean, women thought, I'm not pretty. I know a lot of women, if you're younger, I'm not pretty, I'm not good. Listen, that's the devil. God loves you. He cares so much about, he's so interested in everything you do. I was talking to Bobby. You know, I say, God, Bobby, I said, I got a situation. I go, God, okay, what do you want me to do with that? That's a problem, God. That's your problem. What do you want me to do with it? Ain't it? It's God's problem. I mean, God, you want me to do it. I'm not here to fix things. I'm just here to do what he wants me to do. I mean, it's God that works it out. He wants me to pour my whole life in him, and he wants to show me great, mighty things. I mean, we're supposed to go, so how can I win them? You're right, I can't win them, but he can win them through me, can he not? He that is wise. I use the word of God to be wise, and he helps me convict, and he lets me win those. I mean, listen, he loves me. He loves you. This is a personal relationship. Not a personal invitation, but it's a precise invitation. Listen, verse 21, he said unto me, then he goes on and says, thou shalt keep fast by my young men. You stay around them. Listen, you abide in my field. Don't go nowhere else. You stay close to my field. There's no question to expect. She had no question. Does he really want me to go anywhere else? Maybe he wants me to go over this Mr. Jones's field. Maybe he wants me to go over, you know, I don't know, whatever y'all's names are. I can't think of any of your names now. But he wants me to go. No, he wants me to stay in his field. Think about it. I was going to use your last name, and I was going to mess that up. Vio or something. I'm just calling you V, Miss V. No. But anyway, let me get back to spiritual things here. Now, listen to this. It was an intimate, abiding relationship. Again, we'll go back to, look up with me again in John chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit except you abide in me. Except you abide in the vine, and no more can ye except you abide in me. And then verse 15, henceforth, he says, I call you not servants. Think about it. We are servants of God, but he doesn't call us servants. He says, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things have I heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. Listen to this. He's made this precise. You know exactly what he wants you to do. You know he wants you to tithe, don't you? He didn't say, I want you to tithe after you get your medical out. I want you to tithe after you get some love offers. No, I want you to tithe on everything you get money. Listen, as Brother Jack said, if you bring 10 turnips, give God one. I mean, give him all your abundant tithe. That's what he wants. You know, praying is important, don't you? You don't have to question, do I need to pray? Do you know, hey, God, do you want me to go so many? You know he wants you to go. It's precise. It's clear. It's very clear. He wants you to go to church? Yes. I don't have to wonder, God, do I need to go to church tonight? God, do I need to read my Bible? God, do I need to tell that guy about the Lord? But preacher, I'm an introvert. Yeah. So? He said, everybody. Isn't it interesting how God is very precise, and yet he's telling her, go in my field? Ain't it good he's telling you to stay in my field? He's calling you to be in His will. He loves you. He wants to get to know who you are and get close with you. Listen, He wants you to glean. He wants us to glean one day and then somewhere else another day. No, He wants you to glean His field every day. He wants you to be consistent, to feed upon Him. If you're hungry, listen, He wants you to be hungry for Him. Listen what David says in Psalms 42, verse 1. It says, "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." He says, "When shall I come and appear before God?" Do you hunger for God? Do you really thirst for God? Because he understood God. He understood the closeness of God. He understood that God loved and he loved God. Listen, he wants you to have that thirst for him. He wants you to love him. He cast all your cares, all your burdens, all your wants to him. Because he careth for you. God, I got a little splinter. Yeah. He comes to you. Y'all remember you got little kids that come to you and hold it? And they just want you to kiss it, make it better. And you see the mamas take it and they spend time. Boy, Dad, don't give me time. Give me a. He's not like me. He's like a loving mom that takes it and kisses and wipes it off. And, you know, that kiss that makes it better somehow. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's that time with that closeness when you speak with your dad or your family. It's that closeness. Listen, I'm getting off my subject because I think this is important. You need to know that really God loves you. I think the problem, we don't really grasp that. Because we got so much hatred and so much selfishness. How can anything love us so much like that? He loves you. This is precise. He was telling her to stay in the field and he wants you to be hungry. Listen, also, not just be a precise invitation, but a promising. Look at verse 21 again. He says, Ruth and Moabite said, he said also unto me, also, that thou shalt keep fast by my young men. Then he goes, when? Until they have ended all my harvest. Notice the promise, until the end of my harvest. She was invited to stay in the fields till everything has been gleaned. Don't go anywhere else. Don't go here and there. Be consistent, but calm. Listen, you notice God does the same thing. There's a lot of plenty. He does, you know, his promise is not short term. He says, I save you up to a point and that's it. It's an everlasting life. And listen, he wants to spend the rest of her life. But he says, look, while you're here in the field, the labor of harvest, go gleaning. I'll promise I'll be with you wherever you may be. Lo, I'm with you always. I'll never leave thee, forsake thee. What a promise. What a good God till the harvest is ended. When the harvest is ended, when he comes and takes us home. Or listen, when everybody we know is gone, there's nobody but you on this earth, then you can stop soul winning. That's what it says. In Alabama terms. But that's what it says, don't it? To the harvest, until he takes you home. That means I may not be a pastor at 86 years old. I may not be a pastor at 90 years old. But I'm still responsible to go soul winning. And you, hey, you need to make sure I'm doing it. You need to say, preacher, don't you remember? Continue. Don't stop. Because it said so. Listen, it's a promise. Listen, he promised us he'll never leave us. John 6:37 says, all that hath the Father has given me shall come unto me, he says, Jesus says. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What a promise. Well, listen, when we enter this kind of relationship, Lord, it's forever. It's a fertile field. And I mean fertile field, not just the souls, the harvest of man, but it's fertile when I glean, I get to know who God is and everything. I can grow in abundance in a close relationship. Listen, the more I get closer to God, I can have a better relationship with my wife. I can have a better marriage. I can have a better relationship with my kids. I can have a better relationship with my grandkids, my great-grandkids. I can be a better preacher. And you can be a better wherever you are. We get closer, don't we? What a promise. Now we see the Ruth invited to abide. But verse 22, it says, and Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Listen, she was instructed to abide. Listen, he said, he also says, thou shalt keep fast by my men. Listen, he was instructed to stay. The character of the field is good. She said, it is good. This is a good quality of field. This is quality. It's proven. It's productive. Listen, it's a promising field. It's a great field. Isn't this a proven field? This is a promising field. Ain't it a good field? Amen, preacher. That is. And the women say, amen. Where's men? Come on, men, because it's good. Listen, Jesus expects us to abide in this field. That he wants us to produce like a fruit of image of him. We'll be like him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to his image. We want to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. Listen, we're supposed to be conforming to him. And this is a great opportunity. Listen, I can't conform to the image of Christ if I don't read my Bible. I can't conform if I don't be a doer of the word. Listen, he didn't say I came to teach, then to do. He came to do and to teach. Do as I say, not as I do, right? That's how you do it, right? I'm going to do it, live it, you follow it. You see this way it goes through. They raise up, they go to church. But this is not important. I go to them and say, look, you got to make this in your heart. Because you know what I'm fearful of? My girls grow up and they leave here and they quit on God. Listen, I've seen a lot of preachers, and yeah, I know y'all have seen them too, with preacher kids, they quit on God. There's a mistake. They didn't get the heart. They didn't get it. It's a close relationship. Listen, we're supposed to abide. It's a promising. It's the best field you can ever get. Can you imagine you go in the other place, the other field, it's destruction, it's death? It really is. If you don't go in this field, everything else is destruction and death. It says in Proverbs 16:25, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, and there is a right unto man, and it says, the other, what does it say? There's a right unto, what is it? There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but they are the ways of death. The other fields are destruction. The other fields are death. Listen, if she went to another field, she would have lost everything. She was staying and abiding in the field where she belongs with God. Happenstance? No, God was directing her steps. Led a guy to the Lord, and then the first thing we want to do was go somewhere to the church. No, God's working here. Why do you want to go somewhere else? It's funny how they get saved here, and I'm talking to them, but all of a sudden they're going to go back where it's supposed to be good. They're going to another field. It was death and destruction. If they loved them, why didn't they tell them? The character of the field is good. It's best. It's glean. You know, you taste the word of God. Why we go somewhere else? Why we spend so much time? Why we get on Facebook more than the Bible? Why we watch TV more than the Bible? Why we are so preoccupied with everything in the world but the word of God? Why? And it tastes so good. It's the best. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm preaching to me now, because I'm getting so occupied doing everything in the world now. I can work on sermons and not spend time reading God's word. Listen, it's not doing works and ministry and sermon. It's sitting back and just reading and talking to God and spending time alone with God. That's closeness. That's what he wants to glean in his field. Don't go any other field. That's what it's good and it's tasteful. We don't want to listen. We don't go anywhere else. And listen, why would we settle for anything else anyway? Why would you settle for anything less? You got the best. It's like saying that, remember somebody done won $1 billion in South Carolina, and you know, you figure all the money and all that, you win, you can do all this. Imagine you get all that money and then go buy a Yugo. You know what a Yugo is? Pinto, Gremlin. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't know what to tell you anymore.
How about a Chevy? Can you look at it? Can you figure it out?
Listen, you want the best, wouldn't you? You want to buy a nice house. Why would you go buy an old broken down trailer right down the street? Why don't you go buy a nice house? You've had the best. It's good, isn't it? Have you? You got five kids. You want everybody to have a nice room. Want your own room away from everybody else. You don't know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. Brother Bob's got a big old shop. He gets away. Boy, y'all hard crowd tonight. Listen. There was one is she said he's structured to buy the seed, the character field, but we see the completeness of the field. The completeness of the field. I mean, there's more just than food. There's a quality. She found peace. She found safety. She found, listen, look what 9-17. She found security. She found hope. She found refreshment. She found relationships. She found hope. She found promise. And she found goodness. She found kindness. She found it all. I mean, it was all good. She fell down his face and says, "Why are you so good to me? Why?" I mean, he said, "Here's the water, and here's this, and here's that." And she, "What? Listen, I know," he says, "what you've done. And I've heard your testimony, how you left your family, how you was good to your husband, how you was good to your mother-in-law, and you left it all, and you serve Almighty God." He says, "I've seen it." And listen, God's seen it. There's so much security and hope and promises in him. Listen, it's the completeness in him. You know, when we glean, we determine that we are to abide. There's a determination. I'm going to stay. I'm not going anywhere else. Now, I want to ask you a question. Don't answer this because I don't want to catch you on this one. But is Jesus all you need? But it's not. It's not nearly enough. Is Jesus all you want? That's not far enough. Listen, he is our all. He's all we have. You say, "What do you mean, preacher?" I'm talking about all we have. In Hebrews, it says, "Be content with such things you have." Be content. Doesn't matter if you're in need. Be content with that need that you need. If you have it all, be content with that. Doesn't matter if you're want or need. Be content. You have him. For me to live is Christ. He's my all. He's the all I have. That's all I need. That's I don't need no more. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Verse 11 says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. No matter what condition, what situation, need or want, I'm content. He is my all." Listen, yeah, you need him, yes. And if he need want, yes. But listen, it's just not because he's my need or he's my want. He's just my all. And doesn't matter if I need or not, doesn't matter. I'm content. I should be happy. Whatever state that I'm in. Now, he says, "Now that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned, and so what sort of state that I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to abase, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry." Listen, to be full and to be hungry. Then he says, "both to abound and to suffer need." He's my all. Doesn't matter what state. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthened me. Yeah. That's the key. It's my all. Yet you need, yeah, you go to him. You need want, yeah, you go to him. But does it matter if he listen, he doesn't get, Paul had a need, he's a thorn, but he had a need. He went to God, but wherever state he was in, he should be content. You know, Job was complaining, was he not? If I could talk to God and make my petitions to him, because it's not fair. He wasn't content. Whatever state you're in, that's hard, isn't it? Because it's about me, not what I want, my need. No, it's Christ. That is tough meat. That's real Christianity. That's not plan. Whatever state that I'm, he's my all and I'm content. That's hard to swallow. But that's where we need to grow to, folks. And that's when we achieve. Look at the time it's gone on us. Listen, the company of the field. She had company with the men and maidens and masters. This when we entered this glory relationship with Jesus Christ, our first relationship is the people of God. It's us. We need each other. There's people in this church, there's some things going on we need to pray for. You say, I don't know, but you need to pray for each other. You need to think of each other and pray for one another. Pray for me. Pray for my wife. Pray for my kids. Pray for David. Pray for Miss Phoebe. Pray for Seth. Pray for Bobby. Pray for Dale. Pray for Linus. Pray for the guy back there behind the Linus. Chris. Yes. Yes. Pray for him, really. He needs your prayer. You're going to get in trouble, boy. But listen, it's a relationship, isn't it? I'm not trying to press a crowd. I'm preaching to my family. I'm trying to challenge you to say, look, God wants you to have more. Learn from this woman. Learn from her. It's a relationship that's precious. We are a body. Some are foot, some are hands, some are an eyebrow, some are toe. It doesn't matter. We all part one another. We need each other. We really do. And that's when we say we need to pray for families. We need more people in our church. We need to be a complete body. It is off balance. We need more. Why? Is that we have a light? No, we can go and do more. Imagine how many tracks we really get out if we double the numbers. How many little boys and girls can get saved? What kind of ministries we can really reach out? There's more we can do. We have a part of a fellowship with Him. Listen, John says this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is not just us. It's even with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. We're a close family. We have a great relationship. Listen, also we have a relationship that's close, that's permanent. He said, I'll never leave thee. And verse 23, we'll try to close on this one. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of the wheat harvest. And dwelt with her mother-in-law. Listen, she continued work. Listen, she kept fast. She didn't quit. She continued. Listen, every day she went to that field gleaning. Every day, I guess she came back with a bucket load of 48 pounds. And everybody said, look at her. She's not coming back with a lot. A little bit. She's got a lot. Everybody's taking notice what's taking place. This is what Jesus expects for us to do. He wants us to glean the field every day. He wants us to be dedicated. He wants us to be consecrated. He wants us to be consistent in everything we do for Him. You know, the Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, not yourself, as a gift of God. But verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, right? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now think about it. We're His workmanship, created for His good works, not yours. Not your will, not what you want, but what He wants. His purpose, His will. Souls of men. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's just good stuff. I don't know. I just enjoy it. Let's preach it again. Let's do it another hour because it's good. Yes, thank you. That's good right there, brother. Listen, it's continued work, but it's completed work. Steadfast, dedicated. They finished. Listen, she began well, she gleaned well, she finished well. Now you think about finish when you think of Paul. He says here in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, for I am ready, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Because he says, I've worked the field, I've gleaned the fields, I've got the roads that God gave me, I have fought the good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. He says, the field he gave me was long and wide, it's tough. Listen, now he's picked the cotton and those shells that cut your hands and tear your hands apart. He said, I've dragged the bags, I worked the field by myself, I worked in labor, it sweats. Listen, I've been beaten by rocks, I've been beat by wolves, but I finished that field that He gave me to finish. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord of righteous judge shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto Carl Stanley, and to Mike, and to all them that love His appearing. Ain't that, see how it's personal? All, it means me. Vast, broad, everybody that does, but it means personally me. But it's a consecrated work. Dwelt with her, listen, he dwelt with her mother-in-law. Listen, she speaks, she was young, she's beautiful. She caught the eyes of Boaz. He is a mighty wealthy man. Think about this. He's a mighty wealthy man. He could have pretty much any woman he probably wanted. He was the stock. He was what young ladies were probably. He's got security. He's got money. He's probably handsome. I've seen women with ugly men, ugly, ugly men that's got money because they bribe. He was a mighty wealthy man. She caught his eye. But I bet you she was catching everybody else's eye too. I think she was a beautiful woman. But she was a virtuous woman. It says chapter 3, verse 1, she was a virtuous, 11 verse, she was a virtuous woman. Listen, she stayed pure. She didn't run. She had a good character. She kept her example. Listen, that's why I tell my little girls, don't kiss a boy now. Wait till you get married. Wait till that day say, I do, and kiss. Let that lips touch his lips, and let him deserve those lips. Keep their virtues. Don't ever touch my daughters. Don't ever touch any young girl. Keep their purity. Boys, treat the women what they ought to be treated. Purity. Vital. Listen, we need that. Where is this virtuous? It's gone out. It's wrong. Listen, she had a character about her. She lived a holy life. We need a life of life integrity. Listen, a clean life. He says, I am holy. Be ye holy. That's not a quote. That's not a motto. That's what we need to do. Be holy. Live a righteous life. Be virtuous. Be different what they say. Glean in his field. Listen, Ruth committed herself in the field of Boaz, and she didn't wander. God's people were wandering from field to field. People jump from church to church. People jump in and out of church. Listen, don't wander. Be determined to stay. Quit playing around. Serve him. Glean in his field until he comes for us. Do it for him. Then you can really say, as Paul said, I fought my fight. I finished the crops. I did what he gave me to do. It was tough, but there's a reward. There is a reward from Almighty God that gives to you. What honor. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. We see the body. He instructed her to, he invited her to abide. He gave instruction to abide. She was inclined to abide. The thing is, it's up to us. We're going to do it or not. Someone died today. Do you know 100% sure you're going to heaven? Can you really say, preacher, I'm 100%. I got that settled. There's no doubt. I don't struggle with that. Amen. But I'm saying if you struggle, you come.